Okay, turn with me to 1 John. Who all do we have on this morning?
We got Twin Terry, Tammy, Bart.
Awesome. Well, good morning, everyone. I'm very thankful that you're with us today. Here we are, we're 20 after 10 already, but that's okay. I'm hoping that you were a part of the prayer service this morning. I don't know what else to call it than that, because that's what it is. Even though we are conversing the Word of God, it really is a great time of prayer because you can bring your questions, you can bring your thoughts, and we're going to talk about them. We're going to go to the Word of God. And like what I had Ellen and John do this morning in reading, it's not just bringing a thought out of a piece of a scripture. It's going back into the context of the scripture and reading it, because that's where the answer comes. That's when the answer comes. It's from the context from which the thought is, not from just the thought itself. Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
I hope so. So welcome everyone this morning. God bless you. I'm thankful that all of you are participating with us today. I have no announcements other than Gary is coming the 17th of February. So we're seven, as of today, we're 16 days away from Don and Gary being here. I pray that everyone in, I know that Brian, we still need to be in prayer for Brian and our brother in Twin Falls. We had an answer to prayer this week for in Tom's Uncle Ralph, right? That he brought to us on Wednesday night. And on Friday, we had an answer. Yeah, he's okay. Yeah, he's okay. It's awesome. So, folks, pray. I encourage everyone to pray. And we'll just make sure that when you bring it to here, when you bring it to the house of God, and we make that prayer, we now know what's involved in asking God. If my people shall humble themselves and pray. So what do you need to do before you pray? Humble yourself. Know that He is God. Know that He is God. And really, if you know that He is God, don't you know that He already knows what you have need of before you ask? And if you'll humble yourself before the Lord, what's going to happen to your mind and God's mind?
One.
It's going to become one. And God will hear you because you're a son. How about that? If my people shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face, isn't that what Moses did? And turn from their wicked ways, I will hear it from heaven. Where do you want God to hear from? You want him to hear from that place of eternal life, don't you? Yes, you do. And I will heal your land. That's awesome. So turn with me to 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. I'm going to do some reading this morning. Is Tammy on, you said?
Yep.
All right, Tam. Good morning, Tammy. Glad you're with us. Barth is with us. Debbie. Very thankful for it. I was praying last night, and in the intercession of the Holy Ghost, God said, God is love. How many of us believe that? How many of us believe that God is love? So if I think about God, then I know that God is love. If I'm worshiping God, then I know that God is love. And if God loves, how does he love? What is it that he loves? Well, I know he loves his word. I know he hates sin. But I know he loves his son. I know that God loves the world because it says so in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, right, that he gave his only begotten son. And that through that same love that he is, he raises up you to be a son. I was thinking about the conversation that the Father had with each one of us before the world was. And in that conversation, God said, I and I alone am love. Without me, you cannot love. It's only with me that you can love. He said it. So let's read this. Beloved, believe not. Who's the beloved? You as what? As sons. So Jesus is the beloved, right? And you are in Christ. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. So back to the men, that those old men crept in unaware. What can they be?
False prophets.
False prophets. If we went back to Deuteronomy 13, right? The aspects of the soul. What speaks in Deuteronomy 13? False prophets, dreamer of dreams. Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Okay. How do we know the Spirit of God? Because we have allowed God to show us false prophets. How can the false prophet be revealed? By the Spirit of God, by the word of his power, correct? And once the false prophets are revealed, then who can come? Who could come? Jesus. So everything that God begins to talk to us about in revelation of the man of sin and in revelation of Jesus, if the man of sin is being revealed to me, then what's my anticipation? What am I anticipating?
God's continuing.
The coming of the Lord. Christ is coming. How about that? Hereby know you the Spirit of God. Every spirit, this is how you know, this is discernment. We've been talking about that, discerning the body, correct? Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God. So, how can you discern? How can you know the Spirit of God? What does it say? What does it say? How can you discern?
If it doesn't confess that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, it's
It confesses that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh. So, what body of flesh did Jesus come into? That's the thing that you're going to begin to understand. And every spirit that confesses not that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of Antichrist, whereof you have heard that it should come, and even now already is it in the world. So what happens then if we say that Jesus hasn't come? What spirit are we in? We're in the Antichrist. How about that? Now that's pretty black and white because of all the way we've been led and taught by the Word of God. We can come back and we can read these things, and all of a sudden this discernment begins to be embraced in our minds. And I can begin to see that, oh my goodness, in the consciousness of the living God, I can see the flesh or the body of Jesus Christ hath come. And I'm not going to believe that Jesus Christ has not come. I have that discernment. And if I can begin to discern the body of Christ, then I know that Jesus has come anyway. That's why it becomes invaluable to all of us to discern the body of Christ. And that it is distinct and it is not the body of flesh. Whereof you have heard that it should come, even now already is it in the world. You are of God, talking to the beloved, right? Talking to his sons. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them. Overcome what?
These evil spirits.
The Antichrist. There are many, right? You have, if you're sons of God, you're overcoming them. Praise the Lord. You're overcoming them. So God comes in the power of his word, comes in the power of his spirit. And through the power of the word and the power of the spirit, what happens to those that are against him? They're overcome. You live in Christ Jesus through the word of God and through the unction of the Holy Ghost. You live in Christ Jesus. So now, can the Antichrist have power over you? Can it have power over your flesh? No, it cannot. Because you reign with him. Because greater, now listen to this, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Wow. So if I believe the word of God, then where does Jesus, where am I at when it comes to Jesus? Doesn't the Bible say in Revelation, in Colossians chapter 1, verse 26, that the revelation of the mystery is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. And have I not come to the place where I'm beginning to understand the revelation of the mystery that Christ is in me of a great hope? Of a great hope. And that I am quickened in that hope and made alive with an expectation that I'm going to be the finished work of Jesus Christ. That's pretty awesome. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. So everything the world, this is what I want you to catch this morning. How many of you know that there are many voices in the world? There are many, correct? And we're talking about this world, right? Let's make the connection here. We're not in this world, we're in this world. Well, there are, I don't need this world to tell me how many voices are in it. Because I got enough in this one. I hope you follow me with this. Because my thoughts are full of thoughts of the world. And to stay singular in my mind to the precepts of Jesus Christ takes Jesus Christ to help me. Right? The Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man can do to me. The Lord is my helper. So I can stay singular in my thought to the work of Jesus Christ, knowing and believing I'm a son of God. That's pretty awesome. They are of the world, therefore speak they of the world, and the world hears them. So if I'm in a worldly thought, what's it going to speak about?
Worldly things.
It's going to what?
Worldly things.
It's going to talk about worldly things and draw me, work to draw me out of the things of God, right? Draw me into a thought that's not from heaven. Draw me into a thought that's not eternal in life. Because only the word from heaven can draw me into and separate me unto the gospel of Jesus Christ where I have eternal life. Without the gospel of Jesus Christ, I cannot be a partaker of life eternal. We are of God. There you go. Okay, everybody in this room, everybody hears my voice this morning. We are of God if we believe in Jesus Christ. He that knows God hears us. Who knows God?
Jesus
knows God. Good answer. Appreciate that, Ellen. Jesus knows God. So if I know Jesus, then I know that God hears me. He that is not of God hears not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Man, did we just read six scriptures, six verses in this fourth chapter that should be bringing great discernment into our world about who we are as the sons of God. Six verses. Very descriptive of thought, right? Very powerful when it comes to saying that you are sons of God, you are not of the world. This is how the world speaks. This is how God speaks. And when you can discern between the two, you got it. You got something going. Beloved, now he's going to step it up. Let us love one another. Who is love? God is love. Who is love? God is love. Who is love?
God is love.
God is love. And did God not just show us? We read six scriptures. And did God not show us in six scriptures how we can discern how we hear, whether it be God or whether it be the world? He did. Because God is love. Let me go on. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Where does love come from? Listen, folks, if you are trying to love something without the word of God, you're in vain.
It's a lust.
It is a lust, Tom. You're right. And in that vain mind, we can take on the semblance of sorrow. We can take on the semblance of compassion. We can take on the semblance of all these words that we think are descriptive of how we love somebody, someone, but can never come to the knowledge of the love of God. That's why folks in relationships, and I'm not talking between men and women right now, I'm talking about in the body of Christ. In relationships, in the body, what has to be foremost in the thought of every member? God is love. God is love. That's why we don't judge on the outward appearance. Jesus says, I judge no man after the flesh. I don't even judge myself after the flesh. And yet, in our time alone, we look at the body of flesh and we judge ourselves after the flesh all the time. Anybody with me in that?
Yeah.
And when you come to the end of that, praise be to God. Because now you won't judge anybody else that way either. For God, the love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Okay. Six verses gave me the discernment of how to hear the word of God. And as I hear God, I know that God loves me. And is teaching me how to reciprocate how I love God. Because I can only love God through the word that he has given me. I can't do it any other way. So if Jesus is the word of God, God sent Jesus into the world to show me how much he loved me as a son, then what am I going to give back to the Father as a reciprocation? I'm going to give him the same word. I'm going to give him Jesus. And then he will know that I know. Wow. He knows anyway. But everything's a test or a provoking to the Son, is it not? He that loveth not knoweth not God. And that's kind of a tongue twister, right? In the King James. So if you know how to love, do you know God? The only way you can know God is through the love that God has given you. There's just no other way to define it. How has God loved you, Ellen?
He's healed me in a lot of thought.
Amen. He's healed you in a lot of thought.
Thought that was condemning.
Okay.
Yes.
So he's beginning to free your mind from condemnation.
From a lot.
And if you're being made free from condemnation, then what are you being given?
The love of God.
The love of God. How about
and
you, Connie?
Love him back.
Yeah. You reciprocate it, right? How about you, Connie? What has God freed you from? What has he given
bondage,
to you?
Bondage of flesh, bondage of religion. He's freed me from that.
Freed you from bondage.
Yeah. I love Sarah.
Now you're a bondservant to who?
To God.
Now you're a bondservant to the Lord. For sure. How about you, Cherry?
Brought me here.
Brought you here. Yes, it is. Yeah.
Dead ends and all sorts of chaos. He brought me out of chaos.
That's awesome. Brought you out of darkness?
Yes.
Because in darkness is where all those voices speak, all that chaos, all the trouble. John?
He's teaching you how to be a believer by his love. The unbelief was so great or condemnation, and he's teaching me how to believe and then who I am in him.
That's awesome, isn't it?
It is. It's a game changer.
Yes, it is a game changer.
Yeah. It's, when you don't know who you are condemned.
Yes, for sure. How about you, birthday boy?
Saved from torment.
So
took me out of a self-mutilating hatred for myself.
That's awesome.
Praise God.
Self-mutilating hatred. You know, there's a lot of young people that live in that mind today. And you can see it by the way they treat themselves, right?
A lot of teenage suicide going on.
You know, they say that the suicide rate in young men is higher than it's ever been.
As to any group, young white males.
Yeah, oh, wow. Higher than it's ever been.
Not the most highest in the country.
Isn't that amazing?
It's bad.
It goes to show you how much we need the Lord, doesn't it?
Amen.
How much we need Jesus. And listen, you have the Word of God. You have the Spirit of God. And through the love and the Spirit of God, by the power of His Word, you can overcome the world with love. You have that in you today.
Believe that.
You must believe it if you're a son. Let me finish this. We're almost done. Beloved, let us love one another. The love is of God. Everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. But he that loves not knoweth not God. For what? God is love. God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that he sent his only begotten Son into the world. Okay. He sent his Son into the world. Into the flesh. Are you with me? That we might live through him. So how am I going to live? Where's my life at now? It's in Jesus. I am a son because the Son is now in me. I have taken on the sonship of God. And that word that hath come into me, into my world, is forming the Son that I am. That we might live through him. Herein is love. Not that we love God, but that he's setting everything right for us. Not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. In other words, he loved us to the point, regardless of how sinful we are, he sent his Son into it to free us from it. Now, a lot of people haven't had that experience yet, to where they see that the love of God in sending his son, Jesus Christ, into us. And literally, I was thinking the other day, anybody know what a super collider is? Super collider. It's how you generate atomic energy, nuclear energy.
Fresh out of that
knowledge. Well, you haven't heard about those precepts yet.
I'm good.
Because listen, that's the word working in you. If you went and you read about how to generate energy through a super collider, and how it literally takes an atom and blows it apart, and the protons and the neutrons all of a sudden become separated, and there's this massive amount of energy that's released in the electrons of the atom. It's awesome. Everybody's looking at me like I'm an idiot.
No, I was just trying to picture. So the word of God is then dispersing all the enemies out of us. Is that what you're saying?
I'm giving you an allegory. Because when it comes to sin, that's the power that the word of God generates in you to destroy your sin.
That makes sense.
And it releases an energy that is life eternal. Sin has no power over it.
It destroys it.
So it cannot come back ever again. How about that? In the Old Testament, I've told you this before. I preached it. Oh, it's been a while ago, though. But when the high priest would go in to make atonement for the sins of the people every year, they'd bring two goats. One goat they would sacrifice, and they'd take the blood of it and put it on the altar. And then it'd be offered before the mercy seat of God. The second goat, the high priest would lay his hands on it and put on it the charge of the sins of the people. And it would be led far, far, far away, never to return to the camp. It's an allegory of what happens to your sin in Jesus Christ. It cannot return. And so we don't want to get in this systematic life in a religious mind where we do the same thing over and over and over and over again, always asking for repentance from our sin, and it's the same sin every time. That means we're not understanding. That means we don't know the power of his love. We don't understand the power of his word. We don't understand the power of his spirit. And we keep going over and over and over again the same thing. We're stuck. Let's begin to believe that the power of the Spirit and the power of the Word of God is working within us to destroy sin by the blood of Jesus Christ once and forever. He's the propitiation of our life. Beloved, if God so loved us, here it is. We ought to also love one another. So how do I love you? Do I not love you the same? I only know love from one aspect.
How God loved you.
It's how God loved me. That's the only way I know love. So if I know God from that aspect, then what am I going to do for you?
Love the same.
And how is that?
By the word of God.
Oh! I'm going to give to you the word that God has given to me. So how are you going to love? Same way. So if you call me and you tell me, hey, I got this revelation from the Lord. I got this word from God, and it told me this. I'm going to rejoice in it with you, knowing how valuable it is, right? Isn't that, I'm not casting pearls before swine, correct? I know what a pearl of great price that word is. And I'm going to use it to purchase something even greater in the mind of the Lord. In fact, I'm going to sell everything I own, everything I possess, in order to obtain that pearl that can gain me something greater in the mind of God. And I'm going to give it to you. Amen. Now we're discerning the body. Well, now we're beginning to understand how important each one of us are to one another when it comes to the Word of God. God gave you something to change your mind, to change your heart. It changes the body of Christ. How about that? It's bigger than you. It's more glorious than you. Because now God has shown you the glory of Himself. Wow. That's how we love. There is no greater love. John 16. I'm going to turn there. Read. I'm looking for that scripture where it says there's no greater love than a man laid down his life for his friends. Isn't that John 16?
15.
Huh? 15. 15. I was close, wasn't I?
Yeah.
15 and 13, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, this I got to read this to you then. I'm going to start with verse 10. No, verse 9. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. How did that work? I just told you, right? Right? Continue in my love. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Oh my goodness. If you do what? Keep his commandments. So if you keep the sayings of Jesus, you will abide in the love of the Father. You'll be able to abide in the love of God. These things I have spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. How can you be happy?
Keeping
the commandments and staying in the love of God. That's how you can be happy. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you, for greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. What does that mean? Does that not mean that if God hath given you a word and you keep that and abide in that word, to lay down your life means you're going to speak that word and not your own.
Huh.
Mm-hmm. How about that? God is love. Is he not?
Yes, he is.
Who knows how to love better than God? No, not one. I know not one. No one can outlove or outgive the Father, for sure. That's all I have for you this morning. Yeah, John.
No, John 17 speaks about the same thing.
Imagine that.
Yeah, the glory Can I read it?
Sure.
And the glory
which Well, tell them where you're at, John 17.
John 17, 22.
Okay.
And the glory which thou gavest me, I give them, that they may be one, even as we are one.
The glory. What's the glory?
Isn't it all of God, the love, and the all of who he is, the righteousness?
Forgiveness.
Could it be his word?
That would be it.
Okay. Go ahead, John.
I in them, thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me.
Witness, John.
Yeah.
You get the word of God by the Holy Ghost, and you will become a witness that you stand in the glory of the Father. Ellen, I ask you on Monday night what you heard when Jen Green spoke the previous Thursday, right? What did you say?
I said she was alive. She had the Holy Ghost.
She had the Holy Ghost.
That's what I heard. I can't tell you all the words.
Nope, I don't need to hear anything else. That's all I need to know. Is that your discernment was that she had the Holy Ghost. Because that's how the elders discerned it as well, that she had the Holy Ghost.
He damn teared up.
It got to Pastor Dan. The reason, folks, I'm going to tell you something. We let knowledge screw us up big time. The simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ is without reproach. And if we think, you know, the reason that we can't speak the gospel, and I've been talking with Connie about this, is we think that we have to have this provoking or this big word from heaven. Why? That's not what God sent to save you. He sent you the simplicity of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And I know it's been preached that, oh, you got to have a dream. You got to have this. You got to, folks, you have it all in the simplicity of the word of God that enlightens the mind to what God says you are in him. You are a son. And if God hath called you a son, you are a son indeed. Believe God. Believe his word, and his word will be written on your heart. God bless you this morning.